CliffCentral.com.
Jonathan Witt's with us. And for those people who want to know where Gord Laws is, he is, again, Gord can only do one thing a day. And today he's busy with some project that he has. So hopefully we'll get him next week. Who knows? I mean, it's a
potluck.
It is potluck. That's the only way to put it. So Jonathan Witt's here. Gugu's here. Sia's here. We'll take your calls. And you can get hold of us on 079-748-2090 if you want to tell us what you're up to. I mean, for example, before we get into the stories that Jonathan Witt has to put up with, Dr. Robin says, working Christmas as an obstetrician and gynecologist is quite special, and at least my patients are a little apologetic about calling me out on the holiday, as opposed to trauma, one of the reasons I never became a surgeon. Well, that's what you've been doing for some time.
Yeah, well, I'm not a surgeon, but no, yeah, but I've been
trauma.
A lot of the front room stuff.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What happens at New Year? Because
Christmas on the obstetric side is interesting, because Robin says they're apologetic. Maybe that's in private, but in public, patients come to hospital on purpose to try give birth to the next baby Jesus.
You're
and
joking.
No, people want their baby on the 25th.
Really? So they try to induce?
Very pregnant women who are meant to deliver around there come around there and are specifically hoping that they'll deliver on the 25th. And,
wow.
And if they go into labor, it's like they're quite happy.
Sure.
You know.
It's like a thing.
For
a Christian, it's an auspicious day, right?
That's right. So. Big thing for some people.
I always think it's the worst thing to be born on Christmas Day, because you're competing with Jesus and you just don't get the presents that the rest of us get.
Or people combine the presents, right?
Yeah,
you get
horrible.
Christmas and birthday. Like, I didn't get you a Christmas present because I got you a birthday present.
You get discounted.
Yeah.
It's horrible.
Sucks.
I would not like that at all. I like the fact that I get a Christmas present, and when I was a kid anyway, I used to get cool birthday presents too. If you're a child and you have to put up with just one special day a year.
Yeah. And it's not even special for everyone else for other reasons.
Plus, how does Santa Claus know your birthday, the creep?
Hey, don't ruin this,
please.
Does
he know everything? He's like Kim Jong-un.
Just don't.
Constant surveillance. You've been naughty or you've been nice. It's totalitarianism writ large. Be very nervous about that Santa Claus, children.
Also sneaking into your house in the middle of the night.
Oh, you guys
old,
wanting
old,
to
old sort of fat white man.
Old fat white man coming down your chimney.
Likes you to sit on his lap.
Yes.
Are you wanting to just shit on all of this right now? All of my great memories.
We're just warning the kids that if Harvey Weinstein came down your chimney, you'd know it was a bad thing. Why change the rules for a guy with a white beard?
Harvey Weinstein could pull off a Santa Claus, actually. I'm sure he is in prison this year. Is he on parole?
No, he's not in prison just yet.
Okay. He's doing that for all the kids in Hollywood or something.
Hey, but that actually...
In that pedophile ring they run there.
That actually brings me to one of the stories this morning. Guess who's spoken out for the first time?
Who?
Prisoner number NN7687.
Who?
Bill Cosby.
Oh, he's spoken?
His first interview from prison.
Has anyone visited him from his family yet?
Oh, no. His wife is still ignoring him. No.
Rightfully so.
It's like not even funny. His wife lives a couple of miles away from him, but still hasn't visited.
If I were that wife of his, Camille, I would be doing everything. He's probably going to die in prison. He's an old man now.
82 years old.
Yeah, and she's probably got the money. And if I were her, I'd be living it up. I'd have forgotten and written off Bill.
Oh, yeah.
I'd have moved on with my life, and she deserves some happiness, even if she pretended she knew nothing about all this stuff. Let her have some fun.
Yeah, she knew. She knew something was going on.
So what does Bill say?
So Bill gave 3 15-minute phone conversations to the National Newspaper Publishers Association.
Minutes is all he gets at a time.
3 of them. Yeah.
It's like we got to do the interview over 3 days.
Hello, I've only got 15 minutes if you want to talk about what I've been up to in the prison.
Oh, yes. He sounds like an absolute crackpot.
Hello? What's your name and what are you wearing? Could I speak to one of your female reporters, please?
Yep. Sounds just about right, because in these conversations, he still will not admit he's guilty. he says that he counts down every single day until he is released.
How many days has he still got?
So he gave this interview on Sunday and was only just released yesterday. And he has 8 years and 9 months left.
It's going to be a lot of counting.
He counts and all
by
of
the
this.
Time he's getting close to 90, I think he's just going to lose it. He's going to be like... I mean... He's not going to have the mental state to deal with that.
No. He has called the jury a panel of imposters, and that's the reason why he's in prison. He says that he's a victim of unjust legal proceedings that have resulted in him being locked up. And remember, by the way, he still has to serve about 10 years. So he says that it's all a setup, the whole jury thing. They were imposters. And he says that he remembers during his trial that one of the jury members, this is like the first couple of days, was overheard saying before the trial that he's guilty and we can all go home now. He then continues to say, then she went in and came out smiling. It's something attorneys will tell you is called a payoff. So, okay. In he's all of these conversations, himself. He did not admit to any wrongdoing. And no. that he says, and he also added that he's not interested in showing remorse to appease other people just to help him win parole. He says, when I come up for parole, they're not going to hear me say that I have remorse. So adding that he anticipates serving his full sentence.
You know,
I'll wait for that parole hearing.
Yeah, I'm just so not interested in this guy. As far as I'm concerned, he's getting his sentence for a life of disgusting behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to hear from him. I don't want to hear what he said in those 3 15-minute calls because
he's
frankly,
done.
I mean, he's also deluded. You know, a lot of people who just cannot admit. If he suddenly said, well, I did all those terrible things and I'd like to apologize, then I would be, well, maybe that's interesting.
Mm.
I'm not interested in this. This is just someone in denial. And as Jonathan says, he may end up being totally deranged one day and going just off the handle and forgetting where he is and who he is and you know, getting close to 90 years old. It's just pathetic.
On
it's
the pathetic actual
end. It's a pathetic end.
No
to
place
a,
for old men in
yeah,
society.
I mean, really, we discussed this just the other day. All right, I want to talk about the work because
yeah, sure.
You know, Jonathan
Which work?
Jonathan Witt is a doctor.
Oh.
And Christmas.
Wait, why was
Christmas
I surprised by
year.
That? I was like, oh.
And as a medic before that, actually, Hillbrow, early late 90s, early 2000s was more interesting.
So this is what fascinates me. What actually happens, and what kinds of cases do you have to deal with over New Year, especially?
It's just alcohol fueled chaos generally. this is most weekends in the country though. It's not especially payday weekends are quite bad. And actually, Day of Reconciliation, the 16th, is possibly the worst.
Worse than New Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Really?
I think so. I think
so. That's
why.
Yeah, last year we were running 5 emergency theatres at the same time, all with stab hearts, pretty much.
people put knives into each other's hearts.
Yeah, yeah.
Bottles into their heads.
Oh, yeah. The bottles in the heads are stock standard. You know.
Jesus.
Lacerations and cuts all over the show.
Yeah.
The reason Robin doesn't like trauma is because it's sort of the smell is a mix between blood, vomit, and sweaty feet. That's kind of the smell. Your guest coming on is loving this.
She's just thrown up in the waiting room. Yeah,
yeah. Clean up on aisle 5. Lots of that. Yeah, a lot of trauma, a lot of the standard stuff you'd expect. Motor vehicle accidents, people being hit by cars.
Oh, my God.
You know, because they're walking in the roads.
When you were a medic, because I remember in Hillbrow, there were stories always of when people party on New Year's Eve, they throw shit out of windows.
Their fridges,
it's still
TVs.
A weird tradition, yeah.
No, it doesn't happen so much anymore.
I don't know why.
What a tradition.
The Nigerians have civilized Hillbrow. But,
thank goodness
but,
for the
that's so great. The Nigerians have made Hillbrow a better place.
early, you know, 2 decades ago almost, that was the thing to do. You, for some reason, you got together on New Year's. The other thing that happened was, you know, those concrete bins? You know, those bins in the city center that are made out of concrete?
Oh, yes. Mm.
right? People would take those up into the buildings.
Already
up
a problem.
Sort of 10, 12, 15
that's a,
stories.
That's a lot of work.
It is a lot of work because the lifts don't work, I can
so,
tell you.
Yeah, so people would be carrying that. It's extremely heavy.
A couple of hundred kilos, probably. Yeah. And they'd carry that up to, like, the 15th floor. And then, you know, New Year's would happen, and out the window, or before New Year's even, because people are so drunk they don't know what the time is, out the window would come this sort of few hundred kilogram concrete bin, which is hilarious, I suppose. But the problem is if you're standing underneath this, that's a major issue. And so that was the problem, is it was flying
that
debris.
That would kill you, even if you dropped it from...
Yeah. So it'd kill people, but the thing is when they break apart, and then there's also shrapnel and other parts to it. And, you know, when we used to work there, is you used to go in Caspers, essentially. And
military vehicles.
Military vehicles. Even the medics. Yeah. And then, you know, if there's a guy in the road who was injured, you'd drive over him, and there's a trapdoor underneath. And you pull them up inside so that
you wouldn't drive over him with your tires.
No, because the thing's so huge, you could drive over him and then lift him up into the vehicle
through the trapdoor.
Yeah. Except I have to say, I don't know what's happened in the last, as I say, Nigerians have civilized it, because in the last about 15 years, it really hasn't been that hectic there.
I wonder if those people have moved on to other areas. Those people who used to throw shit out of the windows.
Well, maybe they're like been there, done that. Now they're looking for the next thrill.
What an amazing cultural artifact. Like, if people one day did an archaeological survey of South Africa, like 100, 200, 300 years' time, when we've forgotten all these stories, and they dig around Hillbrow and they find like broken municipal concrete rubbish bins, and they try to figure out what happened.
How,
And they just...
The force required.
Yeah, and they figure out, because this is what archaeologists will do, and they look at, well, this must have been dropped from a height of this, so it was thrown out of the window, and it seems to all have been around the same time of year, because there's Christmas decorations in there. Maybe it was a tradition. These people had a tradition of dropping concrete shit and fridges out of
the fridges also
high apartment windows. It's
quite
just
spectacular. And what they will think about us.
This is what Joburg's archaeological legacy will be.
That stabbing, shooting, maiming.
Is there little that shakes you up now?
Yeah, in that respect. I mean, I've seen most things. You know, the physical traumas.
Have you ever had anyone come in with like an axe in their head?
I've seen the axe. I've seen a crossbow.
In Johannesburg.
Yeah, the guy had a crossbow through his chest.
An arrow.
Not the crossbow, the arrow. Yeah. And we asked him what happened, and his story was very sketchy. He didn't really tell. Obviously, what had happened is it's likely the guy had climbed over someone's wall, and they had sort of seen him as an intruder and put an arrow through his chest, and then he had run away. And the arrow had actually gone through a part of his heart, but because it had gone through it, it was sort of plugging the hole.
So what do? You have to do open heart surgery on that guy?
Yeah, you open his chest and you've got to take the arrow out and then stitch the hole quickly and hope you've got a good surgeon and a good anaesthetist.
And enough blood.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
But doesn't this also frustrate you?
What?
Like to see like how stupid people can be.
Well, you can ask any doctor. It's repeat offenders, so to speak. So
you do often end up with the same people coming in.
Oh yeah, you can see the last stitches that you did, or you know, because you've got to put in a chest drain when someone gets stabbed in the chest, right? Their lung gets punctured, and then the air goes in a space that it's not meant to be in, and you've got to put in this pipe into their chest to drain that air out of the wrong space so that the lung can re-expand, and that leaves a scar of about 3-4 centimeters. Mm-hmm. On the chest. So you'll often see guys come in and they've got one or two or three of those scars. No. And this is like just their fourth or fifth presentation for yet another chest drain.
Wow, we have got some specimens.
So what days are you working over this festive season? Are you working on the 16th?
I am working on the 16th.
Lucky
this day.
I'm working the weekend before that, the 16th, and then I'm working Christmas as well.
Oh man!
So, but Christmas is okay. Boxing Day is a bit busier, and then actually New Year's this year I've got off.
Thank God.
Yeah.
At least one day that you don't have to stress about.
Mm. Yeah, yeah.
Takes a special kind of person to work on those. There's a bit of a psychopath in you.
I've always said all doctors are sociopathic because you've got to get to the point where you can see stuff that normal human beings would not cope with.
Yeah.
And you've got to cope with it and you've just got to move on. And there's a little bit of pathology related to that.
Well, here's an interesting theory, and it may be the most accurate explanation available. Clayton says the reason 16th of December is worse is because companies close for the year and salaries and bonuses are often paid.
Yeah. So we see that on paydays at the end of the month. You know that payday weekend. If you combine a payday weekend, a big football match, it's like perfect storm, and like a public holiday weekend, that's like the trifecta, and then it's bad news.
Do you think people decide, I'm gonna get extra drunk? Do you think they just spend everything they have?
This is definitely not a moment of rationality.
Okay.
And people drink. We have a capacity to drink in this country that is unbelievable.
You think we're one of the worst countries in the world with binge drinking? I remember a survey where we came up we were in the top three.
I don't have a reference point, but we must be close. Our drinking is... when people do drink, they go very hard, very hard.
Here's a story from Dr. Robin. She says, a guy jumped out of a window in a Hillbrow flat to escape his girlfriend's husband, except he forgot he was on the 8th floor.
And survived?
Massive leg and feet fractures.
Yeah, I had one of those about 6 months ago, but he only jumped from like the third floor. So similar thing.
A lot of people, you can die from the first floor if you fall.
Yeah, it's just how you fall. Mm. 8th floor, he's lucky to be alive.
But, Jesus, that's amazing. Yeah. It's almost superhuman.
Lots of stories like that, and some sad stories, you know, people, women jumping to get away from violent men and things like that.
Oh my God, no, that's horrible. Mm. Ay, ay, ay. All right, so there's a lot of things that we want to talk about today that are in the news, but I think this could be interesting. Boris Johnson... in the UK, and you know, we like to keep an eye on this, even though it's very confusing and a lot of the stuff we miss out on. Boris Johnson says that top tier tax cuts are not a priority. I don't know when this happened, but I think humans have always been very resentful of people who do better than them. And I think there was
You think that's the basis of all this?
Yeah, there was a survey that was published not so long ago where they surveyed people on whether or not they really cared about people who were less well off than them, or whether they hated the rich. And it turned out that when you sit down honestly with people and they speak, and you can obviously direct them to answer truthfully by asking them in a crafty way. It's almost like a trick question. You figure out whether or not they genuinely are interested in the welfare of someone who's much, much less well off than them. You can ask things like, you know, would you help this person? And if your life was in danger and this person's life was in danger, would you put them first? And blah, blah, blah. So a lot of questions you can ask people. And then you get to those questions of whether or not you're just bitter and resentful about wealthy people having more than you. Jealousy. And it turns out that jealousy is a much bigger component than compassion.
It's also a failure of understanding economics. I mean, Boris Johnson, there's a lot of criticism of the Tory manifesto, which has been released, which is not very conservative in many respects. A lot of it is this sort of lefty nonsense.
Well, he's also a big NHS supporter. He's talking about the NHS.
You can't be British and not be an NHS supporter, unfortunately. There's such indoctrination with regards to the NHS.
Well, he's claiming that it's a conservative invention, among other things. I mean, let's just listen to what he says about these top-tier tax cuts, because... obviously, Labour, which is left of centre, and the Conservative Party, the Tories, which are meant to be right of centre, tax policy usually on the left means
more.
Tax the hell out of everybody, and tax the hell especially out of the middle class and the rich people. And on the right-hand side, it means let people keep what they have because they've earned it.
And they put it back into the economy. That's the understanding of economics.
Yeah.
Especially rich people. They tend to reinvest their money, and that leads to employment. That leads to corporate growth. Corporate growth, you actually have to employ people. So more jobs.
And in products, usually if rich people start buying a new product when it's still very expensive, that allows the people who develop that product to start producing.
The assumption
cheaper.
That you only have a that no that only Steve Jobs only had a gain for himself by getting rich, or Jeff Bezos only has a gain for himself by getting rich, is a completely insane notion.
Correct. But here it is. Here's Boris. I love the way this guy talks, because he does sound he sounds like a caricature of a British politician, but here he is.
Yes, it's true that we are not prioritising tax cuts for high earners at the moment. We are looking, of course, at the moment to do what we can to help people with the cost of living. And that's why we're lifting up the living wage by the biggest ever amount. That's also why we're cutting national insurance contributions. And and look at the difference between us and the Labour Party, who is the only other potential Prime Minister, I'm afraid, at this election, is Jeremy Corbyn, supported by Nicola Sturgeon. And every independent analysis I have seen suggests that his pledges, which are being added to every day, would lead to massive tax increases for people across this country. We're cutting taxes, managing things sensibly, putting huge investments now into the NHS and into public services. We will continue to do that throughout this Parliament.
So that's interesting, because this stuff, this is always an ongoing and contentious point in any country that has tax policy of any kind, which is everybody basically. How much can you take before people just give up on that country and take their money elsewhere?
Yeah, well, that's it's the big question. France tried this. They tried to tax all their billionaires. They said, well, the billionaires aren't paying enough, and why should there be billionaires? They pulled the Bernie Sanders, and the billionaires said, okay, we'll go to Monaco. Thanks so much. Cheers. We're out. Billionaires don't have to live in your country. They have no allegiance to your country. They can have great lives wherever they go, and they've got no reason to stay, and arguably even the millionaires. So France saw a massive movement of people out of the country when they tried to tax the rich, essentially. There is a point, you can tax them to a point, but it's kind of like that Laffer curve. It's the same logic around all taxes, which is you get to a point at which taxes are so much that you get less out of them than you actually should, essentially.
One would think
peak effect.
One would think we'd learn from examples like France, but...
Socialism is very popular.
On vogue. On vogue. All right.
You're very optimistic.
There's another Epstein story. There's a woman called Teela Davies who says she was sexually assaulted by Jeffrey Epstein when she was 17, and she's suing his estate for battery assault and intentional infliction of emotional distress. And then attorney Lisa Bloom, who's known for representing women whose sexual harassment claims have been brought to the public, represents some of Epstein's victims. She says there should be more accountability and comments on Britain's Prince Andrew stepping away from his royal duties because of links with the late convicted sex offender. She says it's not enough that he's stepping away from his royal duties. He should be brought to book.
Nothing's going to happen to him, please. They're just going to wipe him off the map. Yeah. He's going to be like just he disappear. Never existed. Yeah.
And the royal family have done that before.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
And look, I take anything.
And maybe he'll die of a heart attack, or like hang himself from Tower Bridge. Nobody will have seen it. Epstein didn't kill himself, and neither did
neither
Prince
will.
Andrew.
Yeah.
But I also take everything that Lisa Bloom has to say with a pinch of salt, because not saying that I doubt her intentions here, but I think as soon as
scum?
Any sort of scandal breaks out, she gets so excited.
She's an ambulance chaser for sexual assault, basically.
She's worked on
she was involved with that Kavanaugh crap as well.
Yeah. People speaking out against Bill O'Reilly, Donald Trump.
Well, Bill O'Reilly was guilty.
Allegations. She worked with Kathy Griffin. She worked with some Harvey Weinstein people as well. So
yeah, she defended Harvey Weinstein.
Anything with a spotlight, that's where Lisa runs towards.
I saw Black Coffee on Morning Live talking about Twitter.
Oh, what did he
and
say?
And I thought this would be worth playing. So this is Black Coffee.
Is this about the mayonnaise jars?
this, But at least that's funny. So he says this is what Twitter is now. And, you know, again, Jonathan and Sia and Gugu and I were talking earlier this morning about how Tito Mboweni's decided that Twitter's a bad place. A lot of us decided this a long, long time ago. I think the first one, the canary in the coal mine, was probably Stephen Fry, who realized that the sense of humor had been lost in Twitter and that really it's just a place for mean people. Occasionally you'll see something funny going on. That's why I haven't deleted my account. But I don't have it on my phone.
But, I mean, you can live without cats trending in South Africa over weekends.
Yeah, I can absolutely, and there have been stretches of 14, 15, 16 days at a time where I haven't even looked at it. And I have to get out my laptop for it because I don't have it on my phone. But here's Black Coffee, who's someone I think most South Africans think is a good guy. And he's someone we're proud of. He's done really well. He's a huge success story and continues to do extremely well. And then, of course, you know, with his separation from his wife, which has been very public, a lot of people have gone on Twitter and been real douchebags about it. So here's Black Coffee talking about what he thinks of Twitter now. Listen to this.
What's happening? Meaning, what's the most controversial story? What can we talk about? Who can we troll? Who can we bully? Who's being bullied so we can laugh, you know? So it's a space where mostly toxic people leave. They just sit there and wait because that's where they find joy.
Yeah, that's what? So it's where toxic people find joy because they can sit there and find other people to laugh at and bully.
I think he's neurochemically correct, actually.
Explain?
So people are getting dopamine hits. These are...
Yeah, okay.
You know, it's like you don't have enough attention in your life. Nobody really listens to you. You have no great opinions of value. But you find this platform where you can shout things at people who are arguably more important than you,
In the case of Black Coffee.
Absolutely, right.
Very few people in South Africa could say they're on his level or above it. And he's getting noise from people who he would never interact with socially.
Yeah, absolutely. And so these are like people who otherwise have no access and... you know, they get to sort of say stuff. And if they get traction on what they say, every time they get a retweet or a favorite or a reply from Black Coffee, that would be his real error, his replying. Then they get a dopamine hit. And so that's their reward. Not feel like shit people.
I think that's a good explanation. And as you say, neurochemically, there seems to be a reason that people behave like this. And that could also be the motivation for so many people engaging in topics of discussion where they don't really have a dog in the fight, but it gets them attention. Mm. And this attention-seeking behavior is now exacerbated by the fact that you can go online and you can immediately cause trouble, say something outrageous. Whether you believe it or not is completely besides the point.
And you aren't held responsible to it, so who cares?
Because people don't know who you are. It's only people who actually have prominence who end up paying the price on Twitter, and they only do that if they are part of the part of culture that needs to be cancelled by people who do this
absolutely.
It's unbelievable. So I got an email the other day from Janine Peters, who is an entrepreneur and designer, and we were talking last week about Global Entrepreneurship Week, and I thought it would be interesting to talk to her. She's launched a brand called Yesus, which that is going to get, you talk about controversy, there's going to be a bunch of conservative religious people are going to find you completely offensive from the get-go. And I must apologize to you before we introduce you to everybody that you had to listen to the revolting explanations that Jonathan Witt gave just now of the things he has to deal with over the holidays as a doctor. Were you totally grossed out?
Totally grossed out.
With an appropriate shirt, though.
Yeah. Yes.
You kept on saying that.
Yeah, yes.
When you described the smell of smelly feet and all...
plus the blood, plus the vomit.
Don't even go there.
Yesus is spelt Y-U-S-S-U-S.
Yes.
Now, tell me how this came about. What's the story here?
Well, I've always been very eager to be a brand creator and a producer and get into kind of designs and work with controversial things that make people think.
Yeah.
And while traveling with my brother overseas, because we have Dutch heritage, one of our Dutch friends kept hearing us saying, "Yassas, but did you see that?" And "Yassas, my gosh."
Very South African.
Very South African. So he picked up on it and he was like, "Well, you've been in clothing all your life. Why don't you trademark it and make a brand out of it?" So that's how we came about the name.
So when did you start this?
2016.
And how's it going?
It's going well. Yeah. It was actually on the climb in 2017. We were doing trademarking of the brand. We were doing product giveaways.
They let you trademark Yesus without any problems? Because, for example, you can't call your child Jesus.
No.
There's some rules against that, apparently, Home Affairs. And profanity, generally, they're worried about. But Yesus isn't really taking the Lord's name in vain. It's almost a South African expression.
It's derived from that originally, but now in South African slang, it's actually stated in the communications dictionary online.
Oh, yeah?
That, for a guide on how to speak South African, they've actually got the word yassus, which is an expression of excitement, objection, surprise.
Paid for that.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But it's along with Achmen and, but and all the South African words that we use, lekker. And, also I travel a lot, so I see a lot of the facts that people around the world are so intrigued and interested in the South African lingo, because we really speak differently. Even though it's English,
we do.
It's not English to some people.
We sound very different.
And
you sometimes are walking around, some European city or even people in China, and you hear people saying something, you go, that's got to be a South African.
Got to be a South African.
It's very individual and unique.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
All right, so what do you make? What kind of stuff do you
guys
do? At
the moment, we've started off with just a shirt collection, polo shirts and T-shirts for adults and kids.
Okay.
T-shirts are the basics. Everybody wears them. Polo shirts are the basics. Everybody wears them. So
we've
started out with that. We've done a rainbow collection. So we've got 9 different colors in 7 different designs in the men's range. The same for the ladies, 9 different colors. So it's a very colorful, because Yassus's focus is really to celebrate.
You can't take it seriously.
Every time you say it, I'm like, what? That's your name?
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And it basically is that we want to celebrate everything lekker about the Rainbow Nation. We want to show the world and put a stamp of the Rainbow Nation on everywhere in the world, because we're really unique. We've got a diverse culture, a diverse history, a very dynamic history.
Didn't your story, like in 2006, didn't you have a studio that burnt down?
Yes.
What happened? Sounds like something that drunken New Year's parties that Jonathan Witt has to deal with. What happened?
We're not actually really sure. We were running a print studio, so there were a lot of chemicals in the factory. But it did seem like it was a break-in and somebody had set the place alight.
So awesome.
Yeah. At the time, it wasn't put that. They thought it was an electrical fault. But we weren't actually sure how an electrical fault could have caused such a damage.
And didn't you have a brand called White Trash?
Yes. We were busy running White Trash at the time.
You love this controversy. I mean, White Trash, how did that go down?
Well, in the beginning, because it was from the year 2000 to 2006, it gained a lot of success and a lot of people loved the name. They actually wanted to wear something that said White Trash, of all races and all colors. And what we
mainly
had,
white people in Sandton. I hope they were wearing it.
No, actually.
As an expression of irony.
Yes.
Actually, what it was is that we put it together with a hip-hop label.
Okay.
And we did a lot of skateboarding, breakdancing, graffiti, and we sort of, clouded it around that.
Yeah.
And that gave it a lot of push, and the skateboarders loved it, to wear a White Trash shirt. And so, that was the 6 years of White Trash. We had 3 outlets, two in Cape Town and 1 in Johannesburg.
Well, Ruth says she would like to wear a Yesus T-shirt to her Christmas lunch. Where can she get one just to piss people off? Do you get people who want to, they just want to shock, right?
Yeah, well, they just want to make a statement. And Yesus is a real statement.
Now, I believe that part of the motivation for starting Yesus was related to HHP. How does that relate? Like the rapper, who a friend of ours, who died that's a year ago.
Yeah, a year ago.
A year ago, he committed suicide.
Well, the thing is, I worked with HHP because after the factory burnt down, I went into starting to help other brands.
Yeah.
So I worked with HHP very closely. The two of us were really good friends, and I helped him grow his brand. We did shirts, we did gifts, we did all kinds of promotional items. I went to events with him. We were really launching his brand.
I remember he wore, the last time I saw him, he was wearing
I know what you're talking about.
A cap or something, and maybe even a T-shirt saying,
I love
white people.
Yeah.
Yes. Were you involved with that?
Yes, I actually did them. I actually did the shirts for them. There was a whole series. I love white people. I love happy people. It was a whole series of I love.
Okay.
And the thing with it was, is when I started to launch Yassis, I thought about him and I thought I would love to do a collab with him.
Yeah.
And I was going to get in touch with him, and I was traveling at the time. And in September of last year, 2 days after I left, my brother was house sitting and my house was broken into. 5 armed men came in.
You really had a run of good luck, huh?
Yeah, I've really had ups and I've really had downs.
They say it comes in tens, so it sounds like you're good.
Dr.
You're fine now.
Comes in tens.
No, well, I mean, you've had like a run and now it's over and yeah.
No, but I don't expect it not to be over for the rest of my life, to be honest. It's just the way it
goes. I suppose that's life, right?
Yeah, it is. And at the time when this happened and my brother was so violently hurt, 5 hours in the house. It was really insane. It took a lot out of me. And with the brand itself, I really turned against South Africa. And I was like, what am I doing this for? You know, like, how can people be this cruel and this violent and this, you know, it broke two people, my brother and his girlfriend, who was just visiting at the time's hearts.
Wow.
And I wanted to just stop doing it. But then a month later, HHP committed suicide. And then I was like even more broken because I wanted to talk to him about Yassis before. And I couldn't understand how a man so great like him was so depressed. And I can only understand that it could be the low energy that can exist in South Africa, especially in Johannesburg.
Well, I know he spoke very openly and honestly about how he was feeling the last time we interviewed him. And I think that... Yeah, some people it's a predisposition, it's chemical, it's a whole lot of things, but in his case it was also circumstantial.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are a lot of people dealing with a lot of nonsense.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah,
and some of it is very, very difficult, and they don't have a clear path to feeling better about themselves.
Yeah.
But I think maybe what you're doing here with Yassis, and I'm interested. So it's two S's?
Yes.
Y-U-S-S-U-S?
Yes.
Did you have to do some research around that, or did you just... Because a lot of people... Here's a message I just got from someone now. Spelling it Y-U-S-U-S, so not double S.
Well, I actually got it from the ST Communications Dictionary.
Okay, so you've done the official stuff.
I did the official stuff. Yeah. And how they say to pronounce it is Y-U-H-S-I-S-S. Yassis. So they spell it Y-U-S-S-U-S. That is the way we say it.
Well, Alex says, Yassis, I need to trademark the word fuck it. So if there's anyone else, you better get those words down before we steal them all and put them onto T-shirts.
Where can people get them, though?
Online. We have online shops. Good. We've actually got 5 domains running.
So Yassis.co.za.
.co.za, .nl, .com.
Awesome.
.eu and .co.uk.
There you go, .co.uk.
All right.
And the idea also is that there's a lot of people that have left South Africa and they're living in different countries due to the similar circumstances that happened to my brother.
Yeah.
And so my whole turning around point was, if I'm going to do this as a brand and if I'm going to do something that's going to make a difference, I have to really put my heart and energy into putting hope again into people in South Africa and around the world. And what better way to connect it through a word that everybody in our country knows? All cultures, all races.
Yeah. Remind them of something positive.
Yassis.
Yassis.
Well,
usually people say that though when there's shock, outrage.
Yassis.
Or excitement. You know, you should have seen people around the world I was in Holland at the time for the Rugby World Cup.
Yeah.
And a lot of people in the pubs were like, Yassis. You know, it's a word that you can really get into. It's a word that you can really express. So.
All right. Well, where are you from?
I'm from Johannesburg.
Okay. I'm sorry about that.
I know, me too.
Nothing wrong.
Married,
nothing wrong.
What's your story?
No, single. Single. Yeah. And
any bastard children running around?
No.
Yassis. Why did you have to ask that? You can't say that. Yassis.
That's a good question.
No, no children. My mission in life really is to help children that don't have parents and not to actually bear that for myself.
That is amazing. You know, I've always reserved the greatest amount of admiration for people who are prepared to look after other people's children.
Yeah.
It's hard enough when you have to look after your own. Hey, speaking of which, Jonathan Witt, you're a father. How's that going?
It's a learning experience. I maybe buy one of those shirts. it's quite an experience.
How old's your daughter?
2 years, 3-4 months, somewhere around there.
A lot of parents, it's very socially inappropriate for parents to admit that they aren't enjoying being a parent all the time. There's a lot of pressure that people think you're some kind of psychopath if you don't love being a parent.
No, it's true. It's not about loving being a parent. It's kind of like this thing where I don't think anyone loves being a parent in terms of all the shit you have to deal with and all the unexpected stuff. I mean, there's a whole, you know, you've had parents on the show talk about all the stuff that goes down. But it's kids are great. I mean, kids are wonderful, and so you kind of go. It's that balance between okay, this is terrible, and this is really hard. But at the same time, like the kid is amazing, and it's worth it.
So, has it changed you?
I don't know.
What does your wife say? Does your wife say that it's changed you?
No, I don't think so. I don't think she would. I don't know. Maybe I'm a bit more. Bit more tolerant of kids. I'd probably be more tolerant of that screaming kid on the plane because
Well, then you could teach, know the experience. You could teach me and Janine and Sia something.
I just got a Bose headset.
Oh, is that what you got? That's what you put on.
Block them out.
Yeah, block them out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's when they kick your chair that you then have to, you know.
All right, let's see what Sean has to say here. There are a couple of messages coming through. By the way, you can get us on 0797482090. If you want to join in the conversation this morning, let's see what Sean has to say.
On my previous message, that tunny that fell 30 meters, what? The right expression would have been this T-shirt. Yes.
Okay, yeah, sorry.
Morning, guys. A friend of mine's mum, she's just over 60 years old. He took them on a holiday to Plett and they went to Monkey World. They were on this suspended bridge where you can only be like 5 people at a time. And there was a male monkey sitting on the bridge, and like the tour guide or whatever he's called moved past them and to sort of chase this monkey away, and then the monkey stormed them but stopped, and then this oak turned around and he just shouted run, pushed everyone out the way, and the stunny she fell 30 meters. A tree broke her fall and down in the gorge, and believe it or not, she's just got a couple of like bruises and stuff. But here's the funny part. So Monkey World hasn't phoned and asked, you know, if she's okay. But what they did do is they at least gave them 3 complimentary tickets on their next visit. What a
fall down the gorge
joke.
Again.
Why would you want to come back?
Monkey World. I think I've been there. They've got gibbons, and they've got vervet monkeys.
They've got those ones that masturbate furiously.
Which ones are those again? Mandrills?
No. The ones that have the experience sexual pleasure like we do, apparently.
Bonobos.
Bonobos.
I was about to say, please don't rely on me to Google that right now. That is not what I want.
I've always liked the term masturbate furiously.
Yeah,
there's an urgency.
Yes, to that. Okay. Why would they? What? They aren't going to go back. If they do go back, then they need their head.
Well, also, these are rare occurrences. I love the way everybody wants to, you know, you must shut down something just because something went wrong. You're dealing with wild animals. These kinds of things happen. And also,
yeah,
just get it. Monkeys.
Yo, but Danny,
life is full of risk, man. You could be doing nothing and something bad could happen. So. Oh,
no, that God. Danny's lucky that she only has bruises from something
she's very
like
lucky.
That.
You know, if she had more than bruises, she maybe doesn't survive. Mm. You don't want to be old and have a fall like that.
No, hell no. I'm not even that old, and I mentioned this the other day on the show. I fell because I was at a friend's place. This was a couple of weekends ago, and the stairs were wet. The stone stairs, and I slipped on that, and I actually hit, you know, that area just above the hip on the one side, and as I went down I just knew this is going to cost me. This is going to be something I'm going to be dealing with for a couple of weeks or maybe even months, and it did. It just, I still don't think I'm completely over it, because I was going to ask you, Dr. Witt, about sciatica.
Have you tried a Piles cushion? Maybe that will
Maybe I should use Google's Piles cushion. Yeah, have you seen this? Do you want to see it, Janine?
Yeah, let's see it.
Google, please, come and show off your Piles cushion. Can I have Jane quickly while we're talking about this? Where is Jane?
Google must be the only one who touches that thing. I wouldn't recommend it for anyone else.
This is a very interesting.
We need Jane because Jane was very intimately involved in the Piles conversation the other day. You ever had Piles, Janine?
Yes, sis, man. Come on now. What kind of question is that for a lady?
Well, one of the ladies in the office had, and Gareth told everyone.
Yeah.
Oh.
All right, so let me ask Jane Malachi. She's, where are you? Ask Jane. Let me just ask her quickly because she had some advice. Now, do not say the name of the person who had Piles, because I know this is something that you found very funny and very entertaining at the time.
But you don't start the drama.
No, but ask Jane. So just tell us quickly, you gave some advice to this person.
One of our colleagues.
Yes.
Mm. Yes. Actually, she was having a problem of piles. Mm-hmm. She couldn't walk. She couldn't sit.
She was very sore, very itchy.
Yes. Because I had the piles before.
Yes, and what do you do?
I took her to the shops. Mm-hmm. So we went there. When we arrived there, she was like, when she talked to the doctor, she was like, I think I'm having some piles. I was like, no, you don't say I think. Say it, I'm having some piles. You have some piles.
Just
you don't
own
have
it.
To think.
And what did he give her? A cream?
No, they gave her some pills to put at the back.
Oh, like suppositories.
And after 10 pills. Minutes, she came to me. She was like, oh my God. Thank you for everything, because now I can just go to the toilet.
No pain.
No pain, nothing.
No bleeding.
Even today, no bleeding.
What happened to you when you had piles?
What happened to me?
Mm.
How?
When you had piles.
When I had piled. Mm. Okay. So you're talking about me now.
Okay. Sorry.
So we
can talk about other people, but not you. All righty.
I don't have a problem. At the time I was having piles, I went straight to the doctor and they gave me the same tablets that they gave her.
So
that's why I gave her advice.
We've got a doctor in the house. Here's some free medical advice for your Wednesday morning, especially if you're suffering from piles.
Yes.
What do you usually do with people who have piles?
Those tablets are usually nitroglycerin or some similar.
Take it orally?
No, you stick them up the back. Okay. And they cause sort of the...
Nitroglycerin. That's explosive.
Well, not exactly. Not in... Trinitrate, yes, is in an explosive form, but not in the way we give it to patients. And
I think I have a question for the doctor.
Okay.
Because I asked her
what
about...
What a fun show this morning.
At the time we beg... I want to ask you, doctor, if you put those tablets, do you have to wear the gloves? Because, like, it's important to come back and wash the hands properly.
Very good point. Thank you. Good point.
Maybe, probably not a bad idea to wear gloves, because, you know, the stuff that gets stuck under your fingernails, that's what I would worry about.
Don't forget that it was a bleeding piles.
It's not the blood I'd worry about, you know. I mean, blood washes all quite well.
Dr. Jonathan Witt, how far... Do you have to push the tablet?
No, not very far, because it's actually the piles come from the lower part of your rectum. Yeah.
What are they?
They're veins.
Ooh.
They're a venous cushion, so that when you poo, you don't cause damage to. There's like a soft passage.
What's the cause of the piles?
Out.
That's the question.
Straining too much.
What's the cause of the piles?
You mustn't strain.
Yeah, you mustn't push too much on the toilet. And you need fiber in your diet so that your poo isn't too hard.
Oh, Jesus.
But other people, they say, well, like when you eat like a white bread is the thing that causes the piles. Is that true?
Well, because it causes your poo to be hard, basically.
Oh, okay. I've never seen Jane with so many questions in a row.
You got to cut the pup and the white bread.
I'm going to send her a bill, hey?
I think Jane can get a bill from you for all these questions that you've answered. Anything else you want to know, Jane?
I have something for you. I think maybe we have to buy more tablets for piles for here in the office.
Oh, so we should keep them here now?
Yes. Mm. Because even us, sometimes maybe because we're eating white bread, It's going to be hard white for bread. Me to go to the bathroom the whole day. So I can just come to your office and say, Baba, you give me that one tablet so that I can do it.
I'd rather not keep nitroglycerin in my office, if you don't mind. Thank you, Jane. Oh, my God. It's never a dull day. Aren't you glad you came here, Janine?
So happy. So happy.
Your life has been changed. You decide for the better or for the worse.
We've been making
the
people say your brand for the last 15 minutes.
Exactly.
Let's just be clear, while we're on this very sensitive issue of piles. You said straining. Now, what is the appropriate thing to do if you are having a straining, difficult time on the loo? What can you take?
If you're on the toilet and you're having a straining time.
No, because you shouldn't strain. Everybody knows this. It should be easier, but your diet's obviously wrong. Is there anything you can do to immediately alleviate this?
There's like stool softeners.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you can buy those. There's various sort of products you can buy. You should be going regularly to the toilet. So if you're not, then that's a problem, and then it kind of builds up. And if you don't have enough fiber in your diet, then maybe things are a little bit harder than they should be, and that leads to you straining.
Okay. Alrighty.
Okay, Michelle says, this is why I listen to you guys. Free medical advice. Also, I had my piles surgically removed.
Yes, so there's different grades of piles. So they can get bad enough that you have to have them clipped. You've got to go to a surgeon. And, you've got to have your piles, removed, I guess. Either push back in, because if you have them, you should push them back in. If they're like not a really bad version of piles, then you should be trying to get them back inside.
Wait, push what back inside?
Push the pile back into your bum hole. Yeah. You know what I love? The fact is that you're younger than 30, but as you approach 40 and exceed 40, these bad things are going to happen to you. I think if we could just be on the show for the next 20 years so we can slowly hear your health deterioration, it would be great. And the freak out, the accompanying freak out to that.
There's going
to
be a lot of freaking out from Sia.
Oh, no.
All right, well, Janine, good luck with Yassus.
Thank you.
It sounds like it's a very interesting brand, and I'm sure people would like to find out more. You can go to Yassus, yussus.co.za to find out more. And we like supporting entrepreneurs on this show and people who've started their own brands, especially because that's the hard work. That's where you have to put in the hours, as they call it. Last question for you, Dr. Witt, before we say goodbye to you. Thank you for joining us this morning.
No worries.
This is from Pabalo, who says, can your anus prolapse from piles or from too much straining?
Not from piles, but yes, you can have a prolapsed anus.
What does that mean?
So if it basically folds out.
Oh,
you can have prolapsed any sort of hollow organ. So you can prolapse your anus, you can have prolapsed vaginas. You can prolapse all of those things. So not the most exciting thing to happen to anyone.
Yeah. Very, very unpleasant.
Dr. Robin could probably give you a few stories.
Oh, my God. What a world you doctors live in. Horrible, horrible things that happen.
Nothing shocks you.
No,
he's totally...
Humans, we're disgusting.
We are disgusting.
But great.
Yeah. Well, thank God there are people we can rely on to help us figure this shit out. All right. Thank you, everybody. It's been fun. We will see you tomorrow at 6 o'clock, bright and early. Have an excellent day in the company of cliffcentral.com. We got a couple of cool interviews today and some other really exciting programming. If you want to find out more or you want to listen to something you might have missed, go to cliffcentral.com and download the podcasts. They're all available at your listening pleasure, whenever you want it, wherever you want it. You know how to find it. Just go to cliffcentral.com.
Cliffcentral.com.